keep going. Okay. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about being connected and dealing with offense and forgiveness. Being connected and dealing with offense and forgiveness. And I want to kind of paint a picture for you before we get started here. And just let you know up front, my goal in sharing this, my objective is to help us have more of a sense of connectedness, to have more of a sense of family, right? This is to bring us together. This is not to push us apart. This is to bring us together, okay? Okay, so you're at a football game, college football game in Morgantown, West Virginia. You're at Mountaineer Stadium with 65,000 of your closest friends. Yeah, ooh, that's a tough one to swallow, isn't it, Van? Yeah, right. Couldn't it be another place? Well, no, because I'm speaking this morning, so I get to pick where. And that's where I went to college, so that's where I want it to take place. So you're in Morgantown, right? 65, it's a packed house, right? Mountaineers have a big win that day, right? Everyone's cheering. Everyone's excited. Everyone's happy. Everyone's smiling. Franklin, will we be able to play the video? Okay. Okay, excellent. And then this happens. After the team has won, all of a sudden, over the PA system, you hear John Denver, Country Roads. Now, this is kind of the adopted theme song for the whole state of West Virginia and definitely for West Virginia University football. After a big win, this is what you'll see. Go ahead, Franklin. Country Roads comes on. Here's all the football players. They're high-fiving the fans. It was a big win. Yeah, Shenandoah Valley. Yeah. Now look what the people do. All of a sudden, everyone's putting their arms around each other. All throughout the stadium, you'll see it here. Look at this. Everyone's arm in arm, swaying back and forth. This is our theme song. This is what makes us connected. This is what brings us together. We feel more connected and more like family now, right? Seas of people connected, arm in arm. Isn't this great? It chokes me up to see this. 65,000 people doing that. Thanks, Franklin. Listen, that's good stuff, right? That's my goal. That's what I want this message to do. Bring us together. Feel more like family, more connected. Okay, you with me on that? Excellent, excellent. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, I understand when we talk about offense, you know, that could have like a bit of a bite to it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not fun, right? How many people have had an offense? Dude, I'm there. I am there, right? It's not fun. It doesn't feel good, right? So I get that. I get that. And again, I want this to help us to feel more connected, not because I just want to have a feel-good message and everyone go skipping out the doors this morning. No, no, this is important. And we'll see as we get into Scripture, this is very important to the Lord as well, that we walk in unity, that we walk in connectedness, that we walk as a family walks closely. You know, we sing that song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And sometimes in families, how many of you know this, we don't see things eye to eye. That might be a revelation for somebody. I doubt it. Sometimes in family, we have disagreements. Sometimes in family, we're offended. That's what I want to speak about today. Dealing with offense and seeking and offering forgiveness in order to strengthen our family here at CLCC. And this really ties in with what Pastor Steve shared last week and really what Van preached about two Sundays ago as well. So I really feel like this is a timely word from the Lord. So I want to draw an analogy here. Say you get into the habit of not getting enough sleep, okay? For whatever reason, you have a heavy workload, you have hobbies that you're spending maybe more time involved with than you should, whatever the reason, fill in the blank. Bottom line is, you get in the habit of not getting enough sleep. Now, over time, you know, one night, no big deal, right? Over time, though, will that affect your physical body? Will you get tired? Yeah, sure. Will it affect your outlook over time? Certainly. Will it affect your countenance? Absolutely. And you might be walking around this whole time saying, it's no problem. I can handle this. I got this, right? It's okay. And you might not even notice over time the effects that it has begun to have on you, physically, emotionally, maybe spiritually. But people around you can notice it, right? Why does he have dark circles under his eyes? You know? Why is he so short with people? Why does he fall asleep at his desk when he's working? Yikes. Why does he fall asleep behind the wheel when he's driving? Yikes, you know? Other people can see it. Sometimes we can't see it. Okay, compare that to, what if we hold on to an offense? In other words, my wife said something to me, and it just didn't sit well with me, and now I'm offended at her. What if I hold on to that offense? Will that not also affect me physically in my body? I think it will. Will it affect my outlook? After a while, I might begin to speak very sharply to her, be very short with her, and all along I'm thinking, hey, this offense is no big deal. I got this. And I can't even see the effects that it's having on me. She can see it. Others can see it. So the correlation between not getting enough sleep and holding on to offense, and all the while we're saying, I got this. It's no problem. That's a very dangerous place for us to be. Let me give you a funny example, too. My brother, when he eats sausage, my poor wife, she's rolling her eyes now. When he eats sausage, let me tell you, he gets very bad gas. Can I say that in CLCC this morning? He gets gas. Can I say gas? Can I talk about gas here? He gets bad. Not only does he get bad gas, he knows that he gets bad gas, but it's almost like, and let me not get too descriptive here, it's almost like it just kind of oozes out of his pores. You know, it's like it's just emanating from him, this aroma that he's not even aware of, you know, but everyone around him is, you know, it's you know, everyone else around him is aware of it. And sometimes we're like that with offense. It's no big deal. I got this. It's not going to affect me. This is my thing. I don't think so. Okay, so we're in 1 Corinthians here, okay? And this kind of goes back with what Pastor Steve was talking about when he led into communion that we took last week. And I just really felt impressed by the Lord that we should do that again this week. And so at the end, we're going to take communion again. But he was talking about out of 1 Corinthians 11, 27, Paul writes, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But this is the idea that Pastor Steve was sharing. But let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. Let a man pray and ask Holy Spirit, is there any areas of offense? Is there any areas that I'm not walking in unity with my brothers and sisters? Let him examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For there's consequences if we don't. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. This isn't anything that God is putting on us. This isn't anything that somebody else is doing to us. This is our responsibility. Nobody can do this for me. I have to examine myself. God, show me if there's any blind spots that I can't even see that need to be dealt with. If I don't, there's consequences. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Okay? So This idea of examining ourselves. Is there anything in me, Lord, that needs to be dealt with, especially with regard to my brothers and sisters in the Lord? Because again, we want to be close. We want there to be unity, sense of family. Does that make sense? Am I doing what I can to maintain, and not only maintain, but actually strengthen relationship with those around me? Am I doing what I can to walk in strong relationships with those around me? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 21. God is concerned with our hearts. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." So it's not only my actions, but more so, it's my heart condition that the Lord is after. What is my heart? Because here, if I'm understanding what Jesus is saying, I could not commit murder against a person, but if I have anger in my heart towards him, Jesus says I'll be in danger of the judgment. Now, these are Jesus' words. These aren't Kurt's words, okay? "And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Okay, verse 23, and again, this Pastor Steve mentioned this last week, going into communion. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way." You're there to bring your gift, your sacrifice, your offering to the Lord. But this is so important to God. He says, if you suddenly realize that you have something against your brother, leave it there. What you need to do with your brother is more important than even giving me this offering, this sacrifice, this gift. This is more important, being connected with your brother, than even offering the Lord a gift. I would say this is a priority to God, wouldn't you? This is a priority to God. "Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother." Remember, this is a matter of the heart. "And then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him." God is looking for us to have pure hearts. God is looking for us to have hearts that are connected to our brothers and sisters. If there's an offense there, there is not connection. And God says if there's not a connection, if there's offense, he wants us to go be reconciled with our brother. That's more important than giving him gifts, offerings, and sacrifices. So again, Jesus emphasizes the importance of being reconciled, being connected, being family. That's very important to him. Well, here's the thing. We're not all brought up in families where we're taught to handle offense in a healthy kingdom way, right? I grew up in that family. Asking for forgiveness, extending forgiveness, what it means to help restore someone, you know, working on both sides of the offense. Some of us were taught, hurt others before they hurt you, right? Some of us were taught, don't trust anyone, ever, right? It's okay to hold on to a grudge depending on what harm was inflicted to you, right? These maybe aren't the words that we heard our parents say, but these are definitely things that we caught from them, perhaps, depending on the family we grew up in. Here's one. Just ignore the stuff. Wait. Just ignore and stuff the hurt you're feeling, because if you try to talk about it, it'll only make it worse. It'll only make it worse. Just stuff it. Just stuff it. Because if you try to talk about that, it's only going to make it worse. And Jesus says, if you have something against your brother, go to him. Be reconciled as much as you can. Now, I understand it takes two to be reconciled, but as much as you can, go to the brother and try to be reconciled. Try to talk it out with him, right? This is important stuff to the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. And so if we grew up in homes where we learned these kinds of ways to deal with offense, we need to what? We need to renew our minds in how God is showing us to deal with offense. We need to walk in kingdom ways, not in fleshly ways, right? And we can help each other to do that. So Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, again, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. And I believe that makes the Lord very happy when things play out that way, rather than just stuff it, because if you try to talk to him about it, you're only going to make it worse. Right? Handling things this way is how the Lord is showing us. Yes.
How about we give an example?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm very detailed oriented, administrative. Not everybody is that way, thank goodness. Some people are very creative. Some people, you know, do things at the last minute. The kids were laughing at me. I started 3 weeks ahead of time to pack for Haiti. You know, so we all have. And like when my wife is going away, if we're leaving at 8 in the morning, 6 in the morning, she gets up and packs. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are completely different how we do things. So believe it or not, this guy and I are completely different. We have had relationship probably for, oh my, I don't know if I want to admit now.
Yeah.
Yeah. For years and years.
Long
and
time.
Years. Yeah. So the last thing that I would want to do is do something that offended or hurt Kurt. Well, we had an example this last year where I was being my administrative self and was infringing on his creative self, and I didn't even realize what I had done until two or three other people came to me and said, I think you may have offended Kurt. I'm like, really? Did I do that? And so pretty much immediately, I called Kurt and I said, so when I said this and did that, were you offended? And he said, yes.
I'm trying to remember what you're talking about.
I was trying not to get too specific.
Okay.
I said, so obviously, I didn't do that intentionally, which he acknowledged. And I said, so I apologize, and I'm sorry that I did that. But, see, it's more than just apologizing. You have to understand why the person was offended, what you did, so that you can specifically apologize, and so that you understand what not to do in the future. Okay. So this was when I asked you about all those details about the water tank.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
I'm with you.
So we did. We talked it through, and he explained to me, you know, how that felt to him, which made me feel even worse for what I did. And, you know, I explained that, you know, I actually feel the complete opposite than the way I made him feel. Mm-hmm. And so we talked through all of that, and then I said, are we good? And he said, yes. But a couple days later, he called me and he said, you know, I'm still thinking about this and praying about this, and I would like to talk about it a little further. So this is what Pastor Kurt is trying to say, that it's more than just calling the person up and saying, hey, I know you were offended at me. It was no big deal. I apologize. Goodbye.
Right,
okay?
Right.
You have to make sure that from both sides of the issue that everything got communicated that needed. So if you want to share anything else, that's up to you.
Okay.
I just felt like we should give an example.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Yeah. Sorry. There goes your hearing aid, huh, Cindy? Yours is at home. Okay. It was a good day to leave it at home, you know, with all this stuff going on. Thank you, Pastor Steve. And that thing was dealt with. Now, it's been a little bit of time, but I think more than that, it was dealt with to the extent that I had a hard time recalling it because it had been dealt with. It's not still in here. It was dealt with, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, something like that, right? And as a result of us, especially Pastor Steve, handling things that way, we're more connected afterwards, obviously, than we were when the offense happened. So exactly, that's what I'm talking about. Not just, I hope you get over it, you know, no, not at all, not at all. It takes some work, right? It takes some time, it takes some effort. Okay, so, and then verse 16, moving on there in Matthew chapter 18, it says, "But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." And the point is, if you go one-on-one and try to work out a situation with somebody that you're not, you know, connected with, you may need to get some help from the outside. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in that at all. Wouldn't you rather get some help, get the thing worked out, and then be at peace and be connected with the brother, rather than have this thing raging inside of you, and all along you're saying, it's no big deal, I can handle this. And everyone else is saying, boy, what's wrong with Kurt? Wouldn't you rather have that thing resolved? Let's turn real quick to Job chapter 42. And I'm not going to go long this morning. We need a little bit of time to do communion at the end. Job chapter 42. And you'll remember the story of Job. And he was devastated. His family was devastated. All this stuff happened. And then he had some friends that came along and devastated him some more with the words that they said and the attitude that they had towards him. And then we get to the end, and the Lord has some things to speak to Job's friends. In 42, Job 42, verse 7, "And so it was, after the Lord had spoken these words to Job," so he had spoken to Job, "that the Lord spoke to the friends," okay? And he said, "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends," these four guys that came to console, quote-unquote, Job. "My wrath is aroused against you and your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves seven bulls and seven rams, go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, and my servant Job has." And so these guys do it. They heed the word of the Lord, and they go and they make this sacrifice, this offering, and they go and Job prays for them. Sometimes when we have an issue, we need to go to the person, not only talk it out, and sometimes that ends with us praying for each other. Now, if we pray for each other, is that going to cause us to be further divided, or is that going to bring us together? Is that going to help us to be more connected? Is that going to help us to feel more like family? It's obvious to us, right? When the Lord is prompting us to do this, I just want to encourage us to step out. You know, you hear the Lord say, "I want you to go and be reconciled to your brother." And you think, let's see, is that from me or is that the enemy telling me to do that? What do you think, Van? Is that me or is that the enemy telling me to do that? Is that the Lord? That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to talk just a little bit for how we deal with someone who comes to us and asks for forgiveness. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We're all over the scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 15. And this is one of those, you know, non-negotiables that we see in scripture. You know, we might look at a particular issue, a particular matter in scripture, and, you know, you might see it one way and I might see it another, and, you know, that's okay. But there's some things that are non-negotiable. It's black and white. It's one way and no other way. And forgiveness is one of those items. So Matthew 6:15, "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So is forgiveness pretty important to God? Yeah, it's pretty important. So I have somebody that comes to me, and he has an offense towards me. And he lays it out there. Kurt, I was wrong to do this. Would you forgive me? And I say, well, let me stop and think about that for a minute, because you hurt me pretty bad. You know? And I go back to those wrong ways that maybe I grew up dealing with offense. And I think, well, I don't know if I can forgive you at this point, because you hurt me badly and you might have to suffer a little bit more. Is that how God is calling me to walk in this? If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So I have a pretty important decision to make at that point. This person's asking for forgiveness. Am I going to walk in the kingdom way? Am I going to walk in the ways of God? Am I going to walk the way Jesus is commanding me to, or something else? There's going to be consequences if I choose something else. And it's that way for all of us. Amen? Okay, Galatians chapter 6. Again, we're talking about somebody coming to us with a matter, with an issue. How do we handle that brother, that sister? And you know, we use this phrase in Sozo ministry all the time. Because, listen, I'm not trying to minimize maybe the pain that somebody has caused you. That's real, right? That's not just imaginary. You feel what you feel. And sometimes it's very painful. I'm not trying to minimize that. But in Sozo, when we help somebody walk through forgiveness, we use this phrase. We say, I choose to forgive so-and-so. Okay? It's not based on my emotions. It's not based on my feelings. It is an act of my will, because I want to walk in obedience to God's word, and I choose to forgive so-and-so. All my emotions are screaming, no, don't do it. But I choose to forgive this person. I choose to walk in obedience to God. So Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Somebody comes to me and asks for forgiveness. It's not up to me to work them over a little bit to make sure they got the point, right? It's up to me, right? It's up to me to realize this person has humbled himself. This person is making an effort to handle this thing in a kingdom way. And so I need to come alongside him and in a spirit of gentleness, affirm how he's trying to walk out the will of God in his life with a spirit of gentleness. I'm not there to bring the hammer down on him. I'm there to build him up. I'm there to encourage him. Yes, it was a painful thing, but I choose to forgive you, and God has a destiny for you in a spirit of gentleness. It goes on to say, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Again, sometimes folks want to work things out with a brother. Okay, let me share this story. I heard of a woman who had an issue with her mother-in-law, and she was badly hurt by her mother-in-law. And one day they were together, and the mother-in-law, we'll call her Mary, said to the daughter-in-law, we'll call her Sally, is there anything going on? You know, did I hurt you? Did I offend you? Well, Sally exploded, right? She just unloaded. What? Did you hurt me? Of course you hurt me. Bam! And she gave it to her. Now, I'm not condoning the way that Sally shared that with her mother-in-law, Mary. But she was, I think, in her heart, trying to have the conversation to work it out. Now, did she do it in the right way? No. But the unfortunate thing was that Mary, who should have been the more mature, the more spiritual of the two, who could have said, okay, let's just calm down a little bit. Let's have a conversation. Let's work it out. Did the opposite. And she was how dare you talk to me that way? And so it further caused division. Mary had an opportunity, even though Sally didn't share it in a very kingdom-like way, she had an opportunity to de-escalate that and ultimately bring reconciliation to the situation. Because believe it or not, Sally was sharing her heart with her mother-in-law. She was hurt badly. And sometimes when we're hurt badly, that pain causes us to express it that way, right? Because it is painful. If we can, in a spirit of gentleness. Now, listen, we need to, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. Because when somebody comes at us like that, sometimes our knee-jerk reaction is to, you know, that you, me, I'm going to, you, right? So we got to watch ourselves, right? We got to watch ourselves, lest we also be tempted. Okay, going to wrap things up. We're going to end in Psalm 133. I love this chapter. Psalm 133. Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." When we choose to walk in unity, when we choose to walk in connectedness, family, the way God intended, what are the consequences of that? Oh, my Lord, it's like the precious oil upon the head. When Aaron was anointed priest of the nation of Israel, and they poured this anointing oil all over him, there was a lot tied up in what that oil represented. It represented position, authority, power, God's favor, right? And when we walk in unity, it's like God pours his anointing oil over us, like he did with Aaron. It says in verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. When we walk in unity, it's the way the dew would pour down. There'd be so much dew, it would pour down the mountain. Similarly, the blessings of God flow down to his people, like that dew flowed down the mountain when we choose to walk in unity, being connected, being family, God's way. Amen. And it says, for there, in that place of unity that my people choose to walk in, there the Lord commanded his blessing. If the Lord commands his blessing, it's not an if, is it? He commands his blessing. Well, if you bless us, he commands his blessing when we're walking in that place of unity in the body of Christ. That's where we want to be, right? That's what we want to be walking in. We can't if there's offense that separates us. Amen. So I just want to encourage us this morning to deal with those offenses in a biblical way, right? Being honest with each other, talking it out until it's clear and it's settled on both sides, spirit of gentleness, watching ourselves lest we're also tempted, right? And knowing that there is, God commands his blessing there when we do that. That's a good place to be. And then I just want to finish with this idea that we celebrate when we can handle each other the way Jesus lays it out for us. When we handle an offense the way Scripture lays it out, let's celebrate it. Let's celebrate it like the fans did, celebrated the victory of the team, and arm in arm and sway. Let's celebrate when we can walk in unity. Just like, you know, the team had this fight, they were battling the enemy, and of course we're not battling flesh and blood, ours is a spiritual battle, but there's a spiritual element obviously to this when we're dealing with offense, right? And we're battling those spiritual things, and the team overcomes and has victory, and then everybody's celebrating, everybody's cheering, everybody's more family. When we can overcome those spiritual things and deal with it the way that Scripture says, and let's celebrate that, because that puts us in a good position. Amen? Okay, so I had a little bit more here, but I think I'm just going to wrap up there for time's sake. What I want us to do is we're going to take communion. And I just want to give an opportunity here at the beginning just for us to pray and to examine ourselves, right? And say, Holy Spirit, are there any areas in my life that need to be dealt with? Are there any relationships that need to be dealt with? Would you show them to me? And so just do that in your seat. And then when you feel released, and I want you to commit, like Pastor Steve was sharing last week, you're not going to be able to do that right now. And in some instances, you might not be able to do it at all because the person may have passed or something. But it's your heart that God's after anyway. Commit. If the Lord shows you some relationships that need to be dealt with, commit to take the steps to resolve it in a biblical way. When you feel like you've done business with the Lord, you've heard from Him, you've committed, you have a plan, how you're going to restore this relationship with that person, come forward and receive the elements for communion. And then I just want you to hang out here, and we're going to wrap up together at the end. We have some worship music that's going to be playing lightly in the background. And so just do business with God first, and then as you're released from Him, please come forward. Actually, let me just pray real quick. So, Father, we thank You that You reveal Your heart to us so clearly and that You want our hearts to be connected with You first and certainly with each other as well. And so, Lord, as we set aside this time to come before You, Lord, would You speak to our hearts? Show us if there's any areas that You're putting Your finger on, any relationships that You're putting Your finger on. And Lord, give us a plan of action to walk out restoration of that relationship as much as we can, as much as we can, Lord. And so speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.